Jesus tells this parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, what should I do? For I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves but are not rich toward God. Help us, God. We are in the concluding chapter of James, the fifth chapter. We have next Sunday yet, and then we'll have read through the whole book. I think we started in January. It's only five chapters, but there's a lot in the book of James. And as you can tell, you know, James today is giving advice to making money and our riches. And then Jesus, well, he probably learned from Jesus, because Jesus tells this parable that ends. And so it is for those who store up treasures for themselves but are not rich toward God. When you think of your faith or your relationship with God, do you understand it as rich toward God? And if not, how? What would a rich relationship with God look like to you? What are some of the ingredients of a rich relationship with God? What do you think would be some of the pieces of that for you? That you might be working towards. Selflessness. Giving up selflessness. Humility. Someone at the first service said, I'm a boss and how I treat my employees. It's a practical way of seeing a rich relationship with God and how I treat my employees. Yeah. Compassion, gratefulness, gratitude. How? What do you mean? How you communicate with God?
Being stronger in our prayer. And
maybe prayer life. Okay. A faith journey with some regular contact or prayers or relationship with God. How you deal with conflict? Yeah. Respect. What does a healthy or beautiful relationship with God, being rich in God, look like? Some might point to the fruits of the Spirit. Some might point to fruits of the Spirit's, you know, generosity, peace, love, self-control. Those are all important pieces and what you have said also. It might also be a relationship rich in God might be the way you look at yourself. It might be how you look at the world, how you look at people who are different than you are, how you look at your understanding of God. Having a beautiful or relationship, having a rich relationship with God for me does not mean getting it right or correct. That's not part of it. It's a process. As we say, no matter who you are or where you are on your journey, we're on a journey. We are all on different journeys. And on that journey has different hills and valleys. And yet it can still, no matter where we are on that journey, reflect this being rich in God. A beautiful relationship with God. Now, we've been looking at James for a few months now. And James, I think, is trying to help. And that's where I want to put you back in the context of James. James is writing to an early Christian group. Matter of fact, when Christianity first started, it was considered a cult by some people. Of course, those on the inside would see it as a cult. And so what a tough transition it is to leave your Judaism behind and embrace a new faith and a new tradition. And that's what James is doing. He's talking to an early Christian church, and he's giving them advice and help in how they can put into practice what they've learned, who they are, and what they are becoming. It's a young faith. And through that faith, they have to navigate through some difficult things. They have to navigate between the tradition they're leaving to the tradition they're starting. They don't have the rituals. They don't have the ceremonies. They had to say goodbye to worshiping God on a Saturday, on Friday night to Saturday, to worshiping God on a Sunday. You might think that's minuscule, but if you were schooled in Judaism, leaving that tradition behind and embracing others, that's the community that James is talking to. Early Christianity. They had to change what they could eat. Some might have liked that a lot because now you can start eating lobster. Where the Jewish tradition, kosher, was shellfish and things like that were taboo. And they also had to navigate. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. So you understand the mentality and the stress of the people that James is addressing. Is that they had to move from the teachings of Moses to the teachings of Jesus. And on Thursdays right now, we're reading through Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy is Moses' instructions to the Jewish people. They leave Egypt. They wander for 40 years. They're getting ready to go into the promised land. Deuteronomy is Moses' speeches to them to get them ready. And one of the things that Moses says throughout, you can see it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times, He says, purge evil from your midst. He tells the Jews, purge evil from your midst. He says in the 13th chapter, the 17th chapter, the 19th chapter, the 21st chapter, 22nd, 24th. Purge evil from your midst. Get rid of it. Get those idols. Get rid of it. Purge them. That's what they grew up with. Do you know what Jesus taught? Jesus taught, let the weeds and the wheat grow side by side. Because if you pull up the evil, if you purge the evil weeds, you're probably going to rip up some good wheat with it. Because evil and good go hand in hand, side by side. And so he tells the parable of the wheat, weeds and wheat. Totally different than what Moses said. So just think about this. This is a whole new way of being, a whole new way of thinking. Do you think there's angst and tension in the community? Absolutely. Because they're trying to figure out a new future. They had to endure a lot. And one of my favorite sayings is, faith matures by what it endures. Early Christians had a lot to endure, and it is this community that James is trying to help. He's the bridge from the past to the present. And I want to say the experience of these early Christians is something that's happening within our culture as well right now, especially within Christianity. I often read scholars and theologians and sociologists who say, in American Christianity, we're going through another reformation, a reformation that will make the reformation of Martin Luther look small. There's a radical change going on. And we're only in the beginning stages. It's going to go on decades. We may not even live to see the fruition of what's happening in American Christianity. But something's happening. And I sense it here also, in dialogues, in classes, in discussions, in meetings. One of the fine examples, and I mean no harm, no malice towards Roman Catholics, but we have more and more Roman Catholics coming to check us out because they've become disillusioned with their tradition. They've become disillusioned with a tradition that unfortunately we all know are aware that there is abuse of children, and then they work to cover it up. The institution that is called to follow Jesus. And it's not only Roman Catholicism that's suffering from that, but all of Christianity is suffering from that. Others, I had this conversation that only if the Roman Catholic Church would have some women leaders, I bet you a lot of this would be negotiated in a much healthier way. So when you have, in talking to people who are checking this out, that's the same thing James said. They're doing, the same thing of early Christians. They're leaving a tradition behind. That's not easy. I've never done that. And yet it speaks to me about something extremely important in people who are saying that there's something that I want to find. I'm not finding it here. I'm willing to try somewhere else. That's a healthy transition and a quest and a thirst, searching, of looking, of trying to find something out. My heart goes out to people who we're struggling in that space. And I would say on the journey of faith, we all have those reformation moments. We have to sit, let go of something in order to embrace something new and fresh. A faith matures by what it endures. And James' answer to his community is our answer. And it was back in the first chapter, 121. Welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. That's his answer to these early Christians who are leaving Judaism. That you have the implanted word within you and it has the power to save your soul. But embrace it with meekness and humility. Don't say, hey, I see the light. I got the light. I got the answer. You guys are going to hell because you don't see it yet. Enter it with meekness and humility. That there's something within you that you need to be humble about. It's a seed. It's a guiding light. It's the presence of God within. And it will direct your steps. It will not be your pastor that directs your step. It will not be your priest that directs your step. It will not be your church that directs your steps. It's the implanted word that you listen to within you that will direct your steps, together with the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not your parents. It's the implanted word within you. Ultimately, it's your responsibility to listen. James, throughout the letter, is trying to emphasize that A, these early Christians who are leaving their tradition have this implanted word within them, but that implanted word challenges them to live in a certain way. Faith without works is dead, he says. Our faith needs to be anchored in works. And in the lesson that we have this morning, it's how do we deal with material wealth? How do we deal with acquiring material wealth? How do we spread our wealth? How do we treat the people who earn that wealth for us? For James, that's all a matter of the implanted word within us that takes root in our actions. You and me, we are caretakers of that implanted word. Nobody else. Therapists have a saying. There's only one thing that builds trust in any relationship. What is the one thing that builds trust in any relationship? And this is true not only with your spouse, but true with your kids. What? Respect. Honesty. You're good. But there's a bigger word I'm looking for that encompasses those things. Predictable. There's only one thing that builds trust in any relationship is behavior, is your action. There is nothing. You can think the best. You can wish the best. It is your actions. Any therapist knows that's what builds trust in a relationship. And that's true with one another. That's true with God. We build our relationship with one another through our actions. That's James' concern. Not correct beliefs, not correct desires, not good intentions, it's behaviors and it's actions. That's what James is all about. Our actions matter. They signify to, they can save our souls, but we can also be the hand of God in the world. So I believe there is a reformation going on. We're part of it. And you know, anytime you're on a journey and there's a reformation, a blip, something happens. And this is the true in the Bible story. When they were freed from Exodus, if you read the Bible story, a lot of times in that freedom of wandering, you know what they wanted to do? They wanted to go back to slavery because they didn't know what was happening in the wandering. And the uncertainty of wandering was more overcoming and they'd go back. And I say, don't go back. Keep moving. Emmanuel, God is with us. That implanted word, according to James, will be lived out in our lives by how we treat others. Faith without works is dead. That's directly from James. Today, he talks about wealth and storing up treasures. when we take action to follow James and use that implanted word to love others and care for others, we become rich towards God. Remember the fruits of the Spirit? They're all actions. Not one of them is a thought.